We ready to go? Apologize for being tardy. This is the Rockland Planning Commission meeting, October 3rd, 2017. We can call the meeting in order, start the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Whitmore, want to lead us? Thanks.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Vass?
Here.
Commissioner Sloan?
Here.
Commissioner Whitmore?
Here.
Chairman Martinez?
Here.
Commissioner McKenzie is excused tonight.
Maybe at this point, real quick off the agenda, take a moment of silence for the tragedy that occurred in Vegas a couple days ago. Still trying to figure out what's going on in this world. Sometimes it's something you can't explain. But with that, if we can just take a moment and just take a moment of silence, have your own personal thoughts about what recently occurred. Okay, I'll bring it back to the order of business. Item four on our agenda is minutes of the August 10th, 2017 minutes, 2017 meeting. Are there any comments, questions, edits? Seeing none, those will move forward as presented. Item five on the agenda, correspondence. Any correspondence?
No correspondence tonight.
Correspondence, okay. Item six on the agenda is citizens addressing the commission on non-agenda items. So at this time, if there's something that's not on this evening's agenda that a member of the public would like to address the planning commission on, certainly you can come up and address the Planning Commission. Seeing none, we will move on to our first public hearing item. Item seven, tentative map deadlines and time extensions amendment, zoning ordinance amendment, ZOA 2017-0004. We have a staff presentation.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Nathan Anderson with the Planning Department. Very brief presentation tonight on both of these items. They're both code amendments, no visual aids, so bear with me here. Basically, this is a code amendment to modify Title 16 of the Municipal Code with regard to tentative map deadlines and time extensions. The Subdivision Map Act currently allows a total of 36 months for initial approval, but our Municipal Code currently allows only 24 months for initial approval. So due to the amount of time it takes sometimes to record these maps, it can be burdensome to some of the applicants to get everything taken care of within that 24 months. So staff is proposing to extend that period an additional 12 months to 36 months to be consistent with the MAP Act allowances. In addition to the initial time deadlines, we're also proposing some amendments to the time extension requirements or allowances. Currently, the Municipal Code allows up to a total of 5 one-year time extensions. This requirement, again, often leads to some problems and can often lead to multiple extensions for the same project because there's just not enough time to get everything done within that 12-month period. So as with the initial approvals, the MAP Act allows for longer time periods than what is currently allowed by our code. The Subdivision MAP Act Section 66452.6 states the length of time which a map may be extended may be a period or periods not to exceed 6 years, and there's no maximum period for any single extension. So the proposed amendment tonight would modify our extension allowances to be consistent with those MAP Act allowances. Applicants would be required to provide justification for the extension which they're requesting, and that will be reviewed by the designated approving authority. So the Planning Commission or the City Council would review that and make a determination of whether what they're asking for is allowed up to that 6-year period. They could either approve what is being requested, a shorter period of time, or deny the extension altogether. There are a couple other real small amendments within the code, but I'm not going to go through those right now unless commission has any questions about them. That's all in the staff report. So as of now, staff would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Any questions from Planning Commission? I just have one question. I can understand, I mean, and you laid it out in the staff report of why maybe administratively it's easier to be consistent with the map back and maybe not require applicants to come back after 2 years. What is the potential downside? We're asking the applicant when requesting an extension to provide justification. So what might the commission be looking at to justify a 2-year request versus a 4-year request or a 5-year request? And so I just kind of want to understand from the city side what would be we be looking for in justification, what might be the downside from allowing 5 years versus 2 years as an example?
Well, kind of a multi-part question. As far as what justification might consist of, it could be a number of things, and I hesitate to try and enumerate them because I don't want to box the Planning Commission or the Council in. Ultimately, it's going to be a case-by-case what seems reasonable. But, you know, for instance, we're having trouble getting our core permits to work in the wetlands. We're having trouble working with the Air Quality District to get whatever we need from them. We've discovered that, you know, it's solid rock where we thought it wasn't, and therefore we're having to get extra permits to do this extra work, or it's going to take longer than we thought. Those are the kind of things that I would anticipate people would come forward with, and you would have to look at them on their merits. As far as time limits, again, we were trying to match the MAP Act to give Planning Commission and Council maximum flexibility. The downside with the shorter limits is kind of self-evident. Things happen very quickly. Permits and entitlements from both the city and from outside agencies, such as Fish and Game, the Bureau, et cetera, take time to get. And in 1977, the last time our code was updated, it was a very different bureaucratic world than it is today. The flip side is if a map entitlement stays around too long, it starts to get stale. The world around it changes, the environmental and regulatory environment changes, standards change. So at some point, the map is so out of date that you probably don't want it to go ahead. The world has changed. Where that falls on a given project is going to be on a case-by-case basis.
Sure. I think you did a great job of just kind of explaining the parameters, and that's just kind of what I wanted to hear, so I appreciate that. Another comment?
Yeah, question? I've got a quick comment. So I would assume market forces are also considered justification, and I believe that was a real issue, right? During the downturn, market forces were the reason a lot of maps were being extended, and that's considered legitimate.
Certainly, the state saw it that way during the recent recession, and they saw fit to automatically extend maps on their own beyond what the city could do. In that same time period, the city elected to extend the time limits on use permits and design review entitlements and things like that for the same reason, that we recognized we were in a unique economic cycle and felt that it was an advantage to both project owners and developers and the city to keep those entitlements alive so when the economy changed, people would be able to respond quickly and nimbly. Mm-hmm. But again, it's always going to be case by case and project by project.
Thank you.
Done with the Planning Commission comments. excuse me. At this time, is there anyone from the public that would like to address the commission on this item? Seeing none, bring it back to the Planning Commission and be happy to entertain a motion.
Yes, I'd like to move item 7A as written.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. So that item moves forward as a recommendation to the City Council. And that takes us to item 8 on the agenda, Kennels Amendment, Zoning Ordinance Amendment ZOA 2017-0005. Staff, presentation, please.
Thank you very much. Yes, another amendment to the municipal code. This one deals with kennels within the city. So a kennel, as defined by the code throughout the years, has been basically any place dealing with the boarding or breeding of dogs for any type of commercial or residential purpose. It's long been listed as a prohibited use within the city. There have been inquiries throughout the years about using, overnight boarding for dogs, or even like doggy daycare kind of temporary daytime uses. But because of the way the code was written, these have always fallen into that same kennel category, which was just blanket prohibited. So staff is proposing tonight to amend that definition to allow overnight care of animals and daytime care of animals, pets, I should say, on more of an allowed basis. So in order to do that, the definition is being modified to specifically refer to the keeping, boarding, or maintaining of dogs, cats, and other similar household pets. The new definition of kennels would not include facilities which conduct grooming. That already is under a definition of personal services. It's already allowed in most non-residential districts, so it wouldn't deal with that. It also wouldn't deal with veterinary services, which have their own definition as well. Kennels for the purposes of breeding and raising animals alone, aka puppy mills kind of thing, that would still be blanket prohibited. We would not allow that within the city. This is just strictly for commercial boarding of these dogs and cats overnight. So in order to do this, it would require approval by the Economic and Community Development Director, approval of an administrative permit. Kennels would be subject to several requirements in order to get this permit. Basically, they would have to be in a premises that has sufficient size to accommodate the animals without causing a disturbance to the surrounding neighborhood. It's the most important thing. We don't want to have impacts to the surrounding neighborhood because of these. The premises would be required to be maintained and be cleaned and kept in a sanitary state. The animals would have to be kept well maintained and well cared for. The premises would not be allowed to disturb the area with impacts such as noise, odor, waste disposal. They wouldn't be allowed to have any outdoor activities or storage, and they would have to comply with all other regulations from the county or state or any other applicable agencies with regard to these types of things. Any conditions that are deemed necessary may be placed on the project per the discretion of the Economic and Community Development Director, and permits may be revoked at any time. If they're not adhering to the conditions they stated that they would, it can always be revoked, and that denial or revocation could be subject to appeal per the requirements of Chapter 17.86. So staff believes that these amendments would help to provide a local service that people have been asking about over the years, and pet owners within Rockland would be happy about that. So staff is therefore recommending approval of the amendments as stated.
Okay, any questions from commissioners?
So can you remind me, I think I saw this in the staff report, but it's only in commercial and industrial areas, is that correct?
Yeah, it's in most non-residential districts, so not residential.
No risk of, so the neighbors that you're referring to are adjacent businesses and so on?
Well, you could have a residential neighborhood adjacent to or within proximity to a non-residential district, but that's when these different standards would come into play and to ensure that it doesn't have impacts. If it is going to be close to a residential neighborhood, we would definitely be concerned with noise. They would have to, essentially soundproof the building so that people wouldn't have to deal with barking all night. Yeah. And if they do, they would call code enforcement, and then we would talk about their permit.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
So we're visiting this today because there is somebody who's interested in opening up this kind of a business. Is that correct, what I inferred from the staff report?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Do we know where that's going to be located? Is it going to be an entirely contained building, or is there going to be an outside component to this?
They're not permitted to have an outdoor component, okay. So it would be entirely contained.
Okay. And Mr. Sloan was alluding to, some of our districts do back up to residential uses, so what would it be, the normal noise decibel limit that we have? Is that how we would monitor this, or?
We would monitor this more on probably a complaint type basis. If people are calling and saying that there are dogs barking all the time, we would address it through code enforcement actions. But prior to getting the permit, they would have to demonstrate that there's not going to be these nuisance issues.
Right, if I might just jump in. The proposed criteria says will not cause regular annoyance and disturbance. So that's a lower threshold than a decibel threshold. Nate's correct, it would be on a complaint-driven basis. Our expectation is that these would be soundproofed and noise, odor, et cetera, would be dealt with up front. But if there was a problem, then code enforcement would go out and ultimately they could have their permit revoked.
So if somebody does want to open this up, we would give them, you know, a list of expectations that it would be soundproofed and...
Right.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason for the administrative permit and the allowance for conditions, recognizing that every site's going to be somewhat unique and may have special circumstances that need to be addressed, that there isn't a one-size-fits-all set of criteria. So this allows us to fine-tune for a site-specific issue.
Okay, thank you.
I just had one comment. It was on page 26 of the packet where there's a permit approval, modification, revocation, item 2C. It reads that circumstances have changed since the issuance of the kennel license, and in view of such circumstances, the premises are no longer suitable for the operation of a kennel. And I don't often see a regulation like that unless it's part of like a conditional use permit where we issue a permit for a certain time because we know maybe in the long term, surrounding development that's vacant might develop and there could be an incompatibility, and so there's an opportunity to revisit that conditional use permit. And so in this case, I'm just thinking if I were a business owner and it's residential behind the shopping center, I have a tenant space, but it's undeveloped, vacant, and then I've been operating for 5 years without any complaints, I've met all my criteria, and presumably you would get no further complaints if you're operating per the standards, but it seems kind of harsh to potentially revoke the permit if circumstances around you change. It's usually kind of the opposite way, whether you're putting the nuisance on surrounding development that's already there. So I was just curious, I mean, that may not come up and I'm just focusing on one thing, but as I kind of read through that, I thought, Would this administrative permit, did you consider putting a time certain, you know, to it? Like maybe there, it'll be evaluated on a yearly basis or it's granted for 3 years or I don't know. I'm just thinking if I'm a business owner and I put an investment on getting a tenant space and soundproofing and whatnot and I operate within, you know, the conditions, you know, just your thoughts on that.
I certainly understand where you're going with that. This was intended as a catch-all for sort of the unknown. Our intention is not to try and burden businesses with having to come back every year or 2 years and justify their continued existence. But we're also trying to recognize that circumstances can change. What was an empty field behind you could suddenly be a 100-unit apartment complex that changes the outlook. I would draw your attention also to that it says maybe modified or revoked. Mm-hmm. So it gives us the opportunity to go in and say, okay, well now there's this new circumstance, there's a problem, whatever it may be. We think we can work with you to figure out how to mitigate for it with these changes. If they're willing to work with staff and make those happen, great. If not, well then we might be forced into a position of revoking. You've been in government, you know that it's usually the city's last resort to try mm-hmm. and close down a successful business. There has to be significant problems. So this is intended to give everyone some flexibility to recognize those unexpected, unanticipated changes that come down the road and address them.
Okay. And it's upfront disclosure. I mean,
yeah, and I would just follow by saying anyone who doesn't like what the Economic Development Director does under this has the right to appeal it to you and ultimately to the City Council to say, you know, they're not doing this right. They're being unjust, and you guys can weigh in on it, right. And ultimately the City Council.
Okay.
So there is built-in safeguards.
Yep. Thank you. Any other comments from commissioners?
I do have a couple questions. So my understanding, the change of the ordinance is for the boarding of animals, correct? So excluding grooming, excluding other services associated with animals, just the boarding overnight, that sort of thing. Using your example of kind of the doggy daycare versus kennels and other sorts of things, is there a number of animals that we're talking about here? Is there any?
It's four or more for it to fall under this new definition.
Okay, so presumably somebody who lives in a residential neighborhood and is taking care of their neighbor's dog or dogs up to four for a number of days doesn't fall under this category. The other question I have is with respect to, well, for one thing, you mentioned, you know, no outdoor activities, which seems to make sense. That presumes then any sort of messing, cleaning up, that sort of stuff occurs all inside the facility and is cleaned up, and there's some sort of waste management system that would take care of that. Okay. And then with respect to sort of the process, we talked about an administrative permit, so there is no design review, there's no planning commission approval, there's none of that. It's really just economic development director at that point approving this on a case-by-case basis and then reviewing.
Well, if it was a new building, or if they were modifying the facade of an exterior or the exterior of an existing building, then it would go through some kind of design review process likely. But if it's just the use, interior, and there's no changes to the site or the building, it would all be administrative.
So again, for an example, an industrial space, they're going to go in, modify the interior, do signage, maybe that's it. Then there'd be no reason for commission or design review.
Correct. This is intended to be a permitted use for all intents and purposes. The permit is only to try and address those unique circumstances that may need a little fine-tuning.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? No? With that, if there's anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this item, now's your opportunity to come up. Thank you. Can you hit there might be a red button there. Your mic might not be on.
Can you hear me?
Yep, thank you.
My name is Paul Reichen. This is Jenny Reichen and Beth Reichen.
I'm Chase Burke. I'm with Ethan Conrad Properties, and these guys are, I'll let them take the floor, but I'm just here to support them as well.
Do you mind if I approach and give you some information?
We are. We appreciate your consideration of the proposed ordinance and the change in the municipal code, and we are the ones driving this change. Our plan and hope is to open a doggy daycare and overnight boarding facility within the city of Rockland, and we would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have as to our specific plan. But we feel that the proposed change in the municipal code is consistent with what our needs are, and that we feel that we can abide by the conditions that the change set forth. Chase is a realtor for a commercial building at the corner of Pacific and Sunset, which is where we hope to open the business. It happens to be within the borough zone geographic limits. But Chase has been working with us now for the past 6 months and has been bending over backwards, so to speak, to allow the process of amending the municipal code to take place. So this is our first hurdle tonight. So we feel that the space that Chase and Ethan Conrad, who's the owner of the property, offers us is within the restrictions that you've placed in the code provisions, and we otherwise feel that we can comply and be responsible, run our business the way you anticipate it to be run, and not create any public nuisances in the process.
Thank you. Any questions from commissioners? Seeing none, I don't have any questions as well. Thank you very much.
I
I have just a few things to say just in regards to the big picture. And what I think, why I think this would make sense is just what we're seeing in other counties. Sac County, for example, Ethan owns the Nimbus Winery property. That's at 50 and Hazel. Same use has approached us, and we can move forward with that without any restrictions. No use permits required, no use restrictions. And as far as the noise goes, I think the requirements set forth are pretty good, because if there's issues, they're then addressed. And really, I think the neighboring tenants are going to be the ones that are the most impacted. So if you can contain it within your walls, I think that you're going to be okay, because the residential neighbors are, if they're 100 feet away, if they're 50 feet away, if they're 25 feet away, really it's the noise coming from those immediate walls. And so I'd say, if anything, you would do a noise test right outside that wall, and it has to be a certain decibel level outside of the wall, not to affect your tenant, not to affect the neighboring residential. And if we're not, you know, required to have that test, that's great. But if anything, I think that's where it should be measured, is as opposed to, you know, proximity to residential. I know our property specifically has those concerns, but really the neighboring tenants, and we do it with gyms all the time, where we got to soundproof the walls, and we can do a lot with that, doubling the sheetrock, tripling the sheetrock, start with the insulation and the sheetrock, but then there's other materials we can work with as well. So I would say it's not any different than what we're seeing in other jurisdictions, where we can move forward quick on the same type of use. I think it'd be a benefit to the community, and I think people would really like to have it close to the neighborhood, because I don't want to drive way out of the way from my normal commute to drop the dog off. So those are my thoughts on it.
Thank you.
I actually do have a question, if you don't mind, real quick, and maybe particularly for the property owner broker. So say, for example, you own a facility, a commercial facility, you know, a boarding or a kennel of this kind is coming in. What sort of modifications do they have to make to the building in order to accommodate the waste management?
You know, that's actually something we addressed with Beth, and Beth actually had some more detailed information on that. But, you know, you start with the proper floor drainage, going to the right sewage systems. But I think every room that's going to house a dog has a floor drain for proper disposal. And then there also is a specific flooring, right, that you guys were looking to use?
Yeah, so there is specific flooring and fencing specifically made for dog daycare businesses. As you mentioned, this would all be inside. So we're looking at having two indoor yards, and dogs would be separated based on behavior and an assessment. And they would be on our dog-friendly floors at all times. So flooring that is designed to absorb, pottying. And keeping that very clean and environmentally safe. And as you can see from the packet I gave you, that starts with who we are. That's really something that we take pride in, is that we want to be very environmentally safe and make sure that the space is clean all the time, which definitely ties into the number of staff that we will have on the floors at all time to ensure the cleanliness of the building.
Yeah, I'm just, the reason I ask the question is I'm just thinking about, I mean, obviously a much larger facility as opposed to a smaller facility is going to generally require more sort of infrastructure to support that. And, you know, I can't think of a lot of commercial or even industrial spaces that have that kind of system in there. So you're talking about, you know, are you tearing up the slab? Are you, you know, bringing in potentially more waste lines or other kinds of things to try to deal with this? Or is it some material or other sorts of things that absorbs and that either gets thrown away or dealt with, washed off, you know, that sort of thing?
The latter.
The reason I ask questions, I'm just thinking about, you know, what we're being asked to consider is kind of a, you know, that this is exempt, so to speak, from environmental, which generally I'd say I tend to agree probably with, you know, we've talked a lot about noise and noise mitigation, but, you know, there are other things like the waste, the smell, you know, cleaning, hosing, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And we're saying that all has to happen within the building. You know, I just want to make sure, is that realistic, you know, in terms of saying, yeah, we do want hose bibs on the backside. You know, we do want other things where we need to take, you know, the animals, you know, outside for whatever reason, you know, hose them down, that sort of thing, bring them back in, you know, and now all of a sudden that's, you know, trickling out into sort of the exterior environment.
Mm-hmm. Well, we plan to have a few bathing stations inside because accidents are going to happen.
Sure.
And so we plan, you know, someone might step in something so then we can handle that inside.
Okay.
So that's been a big part of finding the right spaces somewhere that has indoor plumbing so we can handle that. You know, we know there's going to be incidents every day, but what we found with other locations is that the dogs actually get trained. I mean, they know already not to go inside. So sure, I mean, it's going to happen, but at some point we're hoping that we can train them as well. So they, just like at home, you know, they don't go inside. So
using your logic, I agree with you. Most animals, we train them to go outside to go do that. But in this environment, we can't bring them outside to do that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So where do they go?
So they will there. Like Jen said, the mats are there, so they can go on them.
Okay.
And we'll have we've done a bunch of research on different cleaning solutions. You know, of course, we would clean every day, but of course, we have plans for weekly deep cleans and monthly even deeper cleans. There's machinery and stuff that we can purchase that will keep the mats and all clean and safe for the dogs and staff.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I'm sorry.
Yep.
I was just going to say, I know a dog daycare, to people who aren't crazy about dogs, seems kind of far-fetched. So if you do have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Oh. We are going to be cage-free, so we will not have kennels or crates in our facility. We'll have a few in case there is an emergency. Or oftentimes a dog may have just had their teeth cleaned or were just had some type of surgery and they'll still need to come to daycare. So they may need a crate for the day while they're recovering. A big part of who we are and our mission as people who know what dog lovers want is that we are gonna have a cage-free space so that no dog is left alone or in a cage during their stay.
And part of the requirements for getting into the facility is certain vaccines. So all dogs have to be vaccinated. And they also have to go through like a behavioral interview just to make sure that they're safe to be around other dogs and staff. What were you saying?
Oh, and
neutered.
Neutered.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I think we don't have any more questions.
Thanks.
So at this time, I'll bring it back to the
our staff,
commissioners.
Right.
If there's any further deliberation, or I can entertain a motion.
If I may point out one more thing that I forgot to mention, there's a couple of minor typos within the revised ordinance. On page 30 at the top, it says set forth in section 17.64. That should state chapter 17.64. There's some numbering issues, too, that we'll address prior to taking this to City Council, assuming a recommendation for approval. But
yeah. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no discussion, I'll go ahead and move acceptance of item 8A as written.
I'll second. What I was going to say, though, real quick, is in supporting this, I'd also like to see hopefully some other establishments for other kinds of animals that come out of it, not just dogs, maybe cats. And interestingly enough, there are a lot of different kinds of pets out there, and I see that this accommodates that. So hopefully there'll be other things that come up in terms of business opportunities.
Right. Sorry, I thought we were
That's okay.
ready
no,
to go.
You're fine.
Okay.
So was that a second?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, we have 2 seconds. We have a third.
So. Okay. So a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Hearing none. So that is a recommendation to the council. Motion carries. And so now we move to our non-public hearing items. Agenda item 9, informational items and presentations. I see there's none. Item 10, reports and discussion items from the Planning Commission. Any items commissioners want to raise? Nope. Okay. Item 11, reports from city staff.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. And that brings us to item 12, which is adjournment. Thank you.